Boomer in the Morning continues. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Beep, 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 beep. How are we making out, everybody? We doing all right? Apparently, Riley tells me it's hump day. Whatever the hell that means.
That sounds like a Big Show joke. I don't know.
Yeah? Is that afternoon stuff too salty for the morning crew?
Don't like the Sarah Black, Jessica Black, whatever it is, the Friday song. Don't like the...
what was that one? It's Friday.
Don't like the Camel commercial hump day. Those are staples on the Big Show. Drives me nuts.
Are they really?
Well, oh, yeah.
You would know.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, yeah.
You've been there more recently than I have.
When were you there last? Kerboom?
Yeah. Although, yeah.
Yeah. Kerboom.
Kerboom. I am going to say, gosh, I don't even know. Honestly, I could probably find out. I could probably research it, but God, it's a lot of work.
You got to think about a big iconic moment that you would never forget. Like, oh, it was 2008 because that was our last year when we were here. And that would make it 13 years ago.
Well, I can... 2016. Sorry. Where are we here? Come on now. Where are we now?
There wouldn't be any playoff hockey road marks.
2011 is what I meant to say. So it's been only 10 years of doing this? Good God. Feels like 100. It really does.
It ages at least double speed, I'd think. Yeah.
I've only been doing this for 10 years?
That's horrifying, isn't it?
Oh, my Lord.
Sorry, Dane. Didn't mean to.
Okay, well, I'm going to leave because...
Okay. Good show.
Life is...
You're the MVP.
Trickling through my fingers
today.
Thank you.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, that is stunning to me.
I'm sorry about that. I'm very sorry.
I'm rattled.
Mm-hmm.
So I got here, because here's the thing. I got here in 07, and if it was like 20, well, I guess it would have been 3.5 years in the afternoons.
No, oh, yeah.
And that, I mean, that flew by. And then mornings for a decade. And it feels like
it's, three lifetimes.
It's been a lot longer than that. But you know what?
Your children now driving cars.
Yeah. My car.
Crossing. Is that how that's going?
It's not great. I'm just waiting for the phone call. Hey, Dad. So
I was backing up and a guy hit me.
Yeah.
Coming out the alley, you didn't even signal.
But you know what's good is I have Riley to keep me young.
Is that right?
To keep me spry and fresh. That's correct.
He's pretty young. I'll give him that.
Yeah. He's, what do they call kids today? Like, are you a millennial?
What's the next? Yes, I am.
Okay.
He would be, but there's one probably after him now.
So what is it now?
Gen Z?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's just lazy.
Yeah.
Because we've had a Gen X and... So what is it? You went from baby boomers to what?
Generation X.
Do you go straight to Gen X?
Yeah.
Probably.
And then millennials and then Gen Z.
Something in between Gen X and millennials, but yeah.
Gotta be something there, right?
I was born in the weird pocket where we grew up with technology, but not until like high school.
Yeah.
And that makes us unique weirdos that we actually knew how to go out and like meet people and play in parks without looking at our phones, but also that we know how to do that thing and we're not like, honey, the internet's broken. Can you come over?
Yeah. Gen Y, right?
We're in a nice little pocket. Yeah. Probably, yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you making out this morning?
Oh, I'm all right. It was not a good day to be wanting the Colorado Avalanche to win and to see people that you know can throw the ball for strikes at the Jays bullpen. But, threw the ball at the kids for half an hour. That was awesome. We got new ball gloves a couple nights ago. Very exciting.
Working them in?
Just throwing it around, trying to get them comfy with it. They got tiny little hands, and they got these 10-inch gloves, so it's like, okay, it's going to take a little while. One of them keeps reaching across his body, stabbing downward at it. I'm like, that's not going to work. You're going to have to get under it here.
Yeah.
But, it's crazy, man. They pick things up quick at this age.
There's nothing quite like throwing around the old baseball.
Yeah. So the first time we did it, I think it was a month ago, and we had those silly circles covered with Velcro. And those are great because you can just stab at the Velcro tennis ball and it just sticks. But I figured that you can't really bring those to Little League next summer. So let's get some gloves that fit your hands and work on catching the ball. Went and got a bat. They love, we already had some kids ones. They love ripping at the ball. Got a bunch of wiffle balls, an actual hard ball, which is only when adults are around, Dean.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to break something expensive. I can guarantee it. I've hid the bat in the home somewhere. And, just ripped around some wiffle balls and some other balls, trying to get them to catch fly balls and stuff. They're loving it.
You can buy hard balls that are a little squishy if you're interested. They have.
That would be a move. I did not see those. I was browsing around the ball section of the sporting goods store, but did not find the ones I wanted.
I think you'll see the hard ball will have kind of the black labeling on it, and then the squishy, the little, it's not a ton, but it's got just a little squish to it. I think it's got the blue writing on it. I'm not sure.
That's what I need. I need those.
All right. Well,
went with the wiffle balls. Wiffle balls are going to be fun.
Yeah. And I assume you've tied their right hands behind their back so they can only...
I've got one big southpaw and I've got one flamethrowing righty. I'm good.
Very nice.
Yeah. I can just see the lumbering, heavy-set first baseman with chew in his bottom lip and slashing balls the other way as the DH if he's not on first base. And then the other one's just a center fielder that's going to run into the wall like Rob Refsnyder like once a week.
I did nothing yesterday, really. I had some plans. I shouldn't say I did nothing. I got some stuff going at home, getting computers set up and stuff like this. But... nothing exciting. God.
Just playing some COD or what?
No. Trying to, you talk about old dog, new tricks.
Dude.
Trying to learn Final Cut Pro. Oh, boy.
Look at you go, eh?
Look at me go. Yeah. Uh-huh. So that was about it. Snuck a little nap in there. There's always some kid drama mixed in. Mm-hmm. Had a good healthy portion of that yesterday.
What was dinner? You're always cooking. What was dinner?
Yesterday, just because of we had hot dog buns that needed to be eaten up, so we had hot dogs. The oldest was at work, so the kids wanted hot dogs. I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
That's how old you are now. The oldest is at work.
Yeah, the oldest was off making his living, and we had hot dogs with some Kraft dinner and cucumbers and peppers.
All right.
Quite a night.
That's an elite meal.
Is it?
Oh, love it.
I had to dive into the, we'd made burgers on the weekend, a bunch of them, and there's some left. So I had to go into the freezer, thaw a nice bun, and then toast it, and away we went.
Yeah.
Mustard, pickled onions, we got the pickles, hot sauce, just loaded on. Oh.
I had some bacon hanging around, so I
wrapped
the dogs in the bacon and then fired them on there. So they were
fancy.
Yeah. Toasted the buns, as you say. Good eating. And the thing is, I forget, because we cooked however many were that there were buns left. So you got eight buns, you're cooking eight dogs. They're all going to get eaten in the house I live in. So I had to tell my one kid, it's like, listen, so now you've had your hot dog for supper. You're not having another one before bed. All right, you're not sneaking downstairs and rifling one in while everybody else is asleep, because that has happened. And you're not having it for breakfast. Now, if you need to take it for lunch to school, that we can do. Wrap one up, but you're not having this for breakfast. Because he has...
Snack.
Yeah, this is top of the pile. He doesn't... it's the finer details in life that just... some foods are for breakfast and some are for dinner, and it's... It's lost on him. It's all
like,
food.
Why, Dad? What's all this rules?
It's
for?
Food. What are we?
Why not just eat?
What are we worried about? You said yesterday when I was talking about watching hockey, you said, "Well, what about the late?" I said, "The late gets awesome. It's like 7 o'clock game." You're like, "What if it goes to overtime?" I'm like, I don't know.
I said, "What about a squeeze a quick one?"
Yeah, and it was a quick one, and I did, and I'm glad I did.
You should have put $20 on that.
Did you put it on the wrong side, though? Like,
No. I wish I put $20 on it just going to overtime.
Yeah.
A tidy treat.
What a game. Now, I know that you were watching some baseball.
I was back and forth. I caught a fair amount of the hockey, but old Southpaw Tight Pants was dealing last night. So
that guy, whew, doesn't get the win, is that's sad.
1 for 12 with runners in scoring position, so he was never in a spot to win. And then to make matters worse, they bring in a bunch of waiver claim dusters to try to close things out, and AAA starters that can't pitch with velocity and high leverage. So welcome to 2021. We need a bullpen automy.
Yeah, I mean, high leverage or not, none of those guys gave you a whole lot of confidence.
Well, and Dolis is always like that. Someone said it on Twitter last night. He's the worst best pitcher out there because he drives you nuts. He always draws things out. It takes 30 seconds a pitch. He gets himself in a jam. He wiggles out, and you're like, God, that was painful. Why did that take a year off my life? But he does that. So that was normal. But what's not normal is going to your long man. Like, who's got the mop? Someone's cracked a jar of pickles on aisle 3. Like, that's this guy. Coming in, tie game, in high leverage. That's not what he does. He's done it like 3 times in his life. He's been awful every time. He promptly loads him up, sack flies somebody in, and then they go to some guy that wasn't in the majors a month ago, which is like, okay, I know you got to find guys, but you have better guys, and you don't have many guys. It was a combination of being very, very thin on people that should be in the majors, and then making the wrong decisions on which ones to use.
Montoya talked afterwards about the injuries that they've got.
They got 4 legitimate, really good high leverage guys that have given them almost nothing this year. That stinks.
It is fascinating still to look, because how many kids play baseball? Like, so many kids in the States and around the world play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Find 2 or 3 that can help you right now.
Yeah.
On the globe, find 2 or 3 guys that can not be a starter, not give you 6 or 7. Just come in and give me
3 outs.
Yes.
That's it.
Give me 1 inning, 3 outs, 2 outs. Get me out of a jam, and you've got a job.
It was literally the strength of the team for the first month of the season. That's when Chatwood was dealing. That's when Phelps was there. That's when Barucci could give you 2 innings or so. That's what Merriweather for a week looked like, an electric closer. And all of a sudden, like, you had Dolis in the 7th inning and the 6th inning. And it was a lot easier to watch the games at that point. Your stomach didn't go into knots in a tie game in the 6 and a 3rd when the starter comes out.
So other than that, good night?
Yeah, I don't know. Sure.
Yeah. We're going to talk. We'll talk a little bit more. Jays here coming up. Ben Wagner will join us. Maybe he's got the answers, right? Maybe he has the answers.
Maybe he can get 3 outs. Ask if they got a radar gun at one of those AAA games where they do the promotion.
It would be close.
Throw 80, get a free ticket to Edwards, Saturday's game against the Fisher Cats.
Edwards Jr. or Wagner? Where are we going? Pick one.
Yeah. Well, you were saying in the chat, Edward Sr. might not have been.
Yeah, is the old man available? Because the kid's no good. But yeah, talk.
Kid was in AAA.
Yeah.
Until a few days ago.
We'll talk baseball with Benny. Benny! We got the Pinder Report. We'll talk hockey. We've said for quite a while, whether it's the Flames or whomever, you can make the playoffs, but can you compete with the elite? Mm-hmm. And we saw some elite level hockey last night. Elite level goaltending, power play, you name it. The goaltending that you saw out of
Andre, 3 Vezina finalists.
Yes,
those guys.
Andre Vasilevsky was dynamite, and then Fleury had 1 mistake, and it was awful.
And he was great after
that. But then he was unbelievable last night.
And if his teammates saw him react to that, they're like, okay, well, we don't have to worry about them scoring another tonight. Just need 3, boys. Let's go.
We'll discuss it later. But among some other things, we got F.I. Mold, and we'll talk to Versteeg coming up. So we'll have a day.
When's Steger coming back? Hmm. You gonna come golf with us in Lethbridge or what?
Yeah, I'm always ready to golf. You know I love golf. I just don't.
But no, I'm being serious.
Never get the call.
I'm done with the gag here. Like it's
Lethbridge. Like, is it gonna be a show?
2-hour drive.
We're gonna do the show and then drive to Lethbridge and then golf and then drive home and then do a show the next day.
We need some sort of a car dealer in Lethbridge to sponsor the show. We'll do the morning show from a dealer.
Like, how are we?
Let's put it together.
Or just not work.
Yeah, that works too. I'm into that.
Just not have to get up the next day.
Yeah.
Or the day of the game.
It feels like it's about time for a Riley and Kirsch show. What do you say?
I think it's a great idea. Yeah, I had a meeting with Kirsch yesterday. Hopefully that's where that's headed. Mm. You never know. Hey.
I mean, not long term, just one morning.
Can
right?
you come up after the show? Well, maybe this is it.
Is he wearing a suit today?
Is he wearing a suit? Is there some HR people around? I didn't see anybody. Oh, no. We're okay. Just wanted to talk about Tommy Wheeldon Jr. All right. Fair enough.
Tommy, mate.
Live to fight another day. Yeah. We'll break here and come back with Ben Wagner, the Blue Jays broadcast crew. When we come back, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to your morning show. This is Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
This evening, Blue Jays on your radio in Chicago to play the White Sox once again. You heard in the update with Pinder. Bullpen, no bueno. That means below average. Shoddy. Not good enough. Take your pick. Not the only issue on the night. Offense needed to probably provide a little more than they did, but the end result, 6-1. The White Sox beat the Jays. Rodon looked good for the most part. He played a part, I guess, in the Jays
wiggling out of jams. Yeah. That greasy turkey. Yeah,
he is. Yeah. Now we'll go to Ben Wagner, who is good enough to join us again very early, regardless of where you are. So we appreciate you getting up and doing this.
He's
for
already
us.
Done a hit in Toronto. Like
is he really good?
Oh, I know they're working him. Yeah.
Just curious, because we talked about it before the break. If Charlie Montoyo had Ben Wagner or Edwards Jr. in the bullpen. In hindsight, and again, it's hindsight, but who would have been the better choice? Because we know which way we're going, and I got faith in you, kid. Get out there. Here's the ball. Let's
just put it in play. Let's go.
Need some ground balls.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Throw it over the plate. Yeah. Let the seven gloves behind me do the work, right?
Yeah.
Oh man,
it's a frustrating thing, right? When because you can point and say, well, maybe do you leave Robbie Ray in for a little bit more? He gave up the home run, but other than that, he'd been terrific. Is there any other way you can massage the bullpen? It's hard. I feel like it's all kind of an unwinnable spot, even though Montoyo is taking some heat. The options aren't great.
Well, I mean, it became an unwinnable game when C.J. Edwards came into the ballgame, right? But you had to get multiple innings of relief because of the tie game situation with Trent Thornton. And Trent Thornton wasn't as good as Trent Thornton has been for Charlie Montoyo. But that's the situation. You couldn't burn Castro. You're not going to burn Jordan Romano in that position. And you can't touch Tyler Chatwood for whatever reason right now. I mean, the guy's just completely fallen off a cliff in his last five outings, and you have to keep it a tight ball game. So you go with the guy that in that situation, after it became a tie game, you got to go with Trent Thornton and see if you can get a couple of innings and see if your offense can show any sign of life on the south side. And that to me is the bigger issue. But Charlie was trying to maneuver his bullpen into where he could salvage it for not ruining the next two nights at the same time.
Yeah, and this is the part, because if they're fully healthy, I don't even know if Castro's on this team. And now you're like, oh boy, we got to save him because we might need him tomorrow, and we're not winning; we're just tied. I mean, that's the state of affairs. But you're right, 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position. That's really how you got there, more than the bullpen screwing up. Now they still could have screwed it up, but you should have had a lead before they screwed it up.
He should have had a much bigger cushion than that. And even if you were wanting to throw Rafael Dolis, he just didn't have as good stuff last night, right? He threw more fastballs last night than I was aware of. Looking at the chart, And his fastball command is where it was letting him down. You know, he leaned on the slider. He threw a couple of splitters. But for the most part, fastball command was his demise. And we know if he doesn't have fastball command, we've watched it now for a year plus, that's when it becomes very troublesome for Rafael Dolis. And he's an impact arm. You mentioned Anthony Castro. Does he even crack this roster if it wasn't for the injuries? And the injuries is where this story needs to start with the Blue Jays bullpen. There are not only just six guys that are on the injured list, there are six guys with impact, high leverage opportunities on the injured list for the Blue Jays right now. That changes a lot if you get half of those guys back. If you get Julian Merriweather, Ryan Barucki, and choose who else comes back off of this injured list situation. This is a much different scenario for the Blue Jays and how they orchestrate any game, let alone tight ball games.
Well, and that's the sad part, because you look at the standings, they're two games over, and you can think of four right off the top of your head in the last 3 weeks that the bullpen's gift-wrapped and given away. The game in Cleveland was a nightmare. The first of three meltdowns from Chatwood. Give us some good news. Who's coming? Who's healthy? Who's rehabbing that's close?
Yeah, Travis Bergen should be on the return. A.J. Cole is somebody that in the last year plus has pitched himself into pretty high standing with the Blue Jays in their pitching department. P. Walker, I know Matt Bushman really likes him, and Charlie has leaned on him more and more since he's come back. So Travis, if there is a light at the end of the tunnel, two guys in Travis Bergen, the lefty, A.J. Cole, the veteran right-hander, are closer to returning than anybody else. Ryan Barucki should start to throw by the time this week is over. That's a good sign that he's on the return track. And maybe Julian Merriweather, whose 60-day allotment on the injured list will expire, and they hope to get him back on the mound sometime in Dunedin. But that's going to be a much longer road for Julian Merriweather, who is unbelievable at the start of this year. Fans remember those first 3 weeks in April. But there is good news. There's some hope on the horizon for the bullpen.
Well, and then what are the other options that you'd weigh? I mean, obviously, trades at this time of year are very rare. We did see the Rays do it, but they had to give up a starting shortstop to get two relievers. I don't know that that's not something that happens in July. But then the other option would be, okay, who are your starters at the lower levels or prospects that you could pull up and put into high leverage? Like, I don't know that we're there yet with Nate Pearson, but apparently Patrick Murphy's working. Where's Thomas Hatch? Like, are those guys that you'd put in high leverage, or does that not suit their skill set?
Patrick Murphy for me is a little bit of a wild card, right? And he, the way that I understand it, and the way you look at the games that he's pitched in, and he's pitched well at AAA, especially with this new challenge. You know, you go from A ball to AAA, and you try to get some big time reps. If he is healthy, they would like to have him come to the major leagues without any restrictions. How do you make sure that his health is okay without, you know, really testing him at the big league level? That's going to be the next big step. Patrick Murphy is a little bit of a wild card because he's got tremendous stuff. They're not going to stretch him out. They're not going to tinker with him at this situation and be a starter. I would imagine they need to get him a back-to-back in AAA before they even think about getting him to the major leagues. Thomas Hatch, though, is another guy that they want to jump into this rotation. And that is a big step for the Blue Jays. I thought, without the setback, Thomas Hatch would beat Alek Manoah to the major leagues. But then he had the setback. They shut him down for a couple of weeks. And now he's kind of pitching himself back into the conversation at AAA. So there is good news. Unfortunately, none of the good news is immediate news. None of the answers arrive today. So if you're talking about going out and seeking outside opportunities, it's going to be very tough and it's going to be very costly for the organization to facilitate any trade, midline reliever, high leverage reliever, or starter. And in my opinion, the bigger need here is in the long game where the Blue Jays are. Once we get into July post All-Star break, can they go out? Can they find somebody to lop into this rotation? Because this rotation, when they're pitching well, pitches you into a position where you can win a ball game.
Ben Wagner, our guest, Blue Jays broadcast crew here on Sportsnet. I wanted to ask you about Robbie Ray. You know he's on when you immediately know just by the tight pants. But in all seriousness,
been on all year.
he's been. I don't know what my expectations were. They were not they were not high enough, I guess, because he really has given them some solid work. He was terrific again last night.
May I pump the tires? Because I've been on the Robbie Ray train all spring.
Yeah.
All season. I've been a big fan of Robbie Ray. And even going back to the end of 2020, where you saw some flashes of the unfortunate, you know, Robbie Ray-isms and the, you know, the wild walk totals and the high pitch count early in ball games, even after the trade when he was acquired for the Blue Jays. But he and P. Walker hit it off, and they found something, and Robbie Ray realized it very early, and that's another reason why he signed so early in free agency. And now we are seeing the dominant stuff. There are nights where Robbie Ray can just go out, and he can throw fastballs and sliders and let the natural movement, the natural ability of him to throw a baseball and the baseball dance off his fingertips and get results. And last night was one of those nights where it's fastball-slider combination, and his slider the last two times out has been at an elite level, an elite level. He threw more of them than he'd ever thrown in a major league game his last time out, equal to that in the terms of the splits, plus the gaudy strikeout totals last night in Chicago, which is a really good lineup, by the way. The Chicago White Sox have a really good lineup, and Robbie Ray was just carving them up and doing so with power, with the fastball and the slider combination. And that's an unfortunate loss for the Blue Jays to have, because you waste a performance for Robbie Ray.
We've seen some cool moments. It's one of the things you get romantic about baseball, as they say. We saw Alek Manoah, his mom, a couple weeks ago with the first start and the first strikeout and that. And then for Riley Adams last night, getting a taste and seeing his family. What are his thoughts on this kid?
Riley Adams is somebody that I thought, you know, would make an appearance at some point this season if the Blue Jays, just depending on how the Blue Jays wanted to handle their catching core. You know, for there was some pocket of time that they were looking to bring in a veteran to back up Danny Jansen and help with the pitching staff, and then Alejandro Kirk won himself the job. And now with the injury situation and the Blue Jays with five guys on their 40-man roster in a backstop scenario, go to Riley Adams, maybe a little ahead of schedule. And it's a swing that has been evolving, which is the good news, because in spring training, it was a very slow bat. He had a bigger uppercut. And to his credit, he used the alternate training site through the beginning of April and then shifting to get into to May of AAA when he started to get some really good reps. He's driving the ball much better. And that ball that he hit last night in Chicago, that's a seed. And that's kind of the exit velocity and the trajectory that we've been hearing about Riley Adams. And let's not shortchange him either. He called a great game for a very difficult guy to catch. And it was a tight ball game to its very late stages in his major league debut. If that guy gets out of bed before noon today, I'd be stunned just because of the mental grind of what his major league debut was last night.
No kidding.
And you know what? It's the great thing about baseball is that the next day is another day, and now we're excited to see Manoah one more time. What's your expectation here? I had the great start, and then, you know, not bad in two, second start. It's great to have young studs. I mean, Vladdy's doing his thing. It's a very exciting team right now, and now Manoah falls in. What's your expectation for him? Now, Lynn on the other side, he's been pretty good too. But like you say, this is a good White Sox. This is a good order that Manoah's going to be up against today.
Yeah, the White Sox are a really good team. I mean, the back end of the bullpen is outstanding. Their starting pitching, for the most part, has been outstanding. And unfortunately for the Blue Jays, between Rodon, Lance Lynn, and Dallas Keuchel tomorrow, they're going to get, you know, the best three, essentially, in their rotation right now. And Lance Lynn, here in the middle of it, has been really good. Alek Manoah needs to just be a little bit better. Maybe not as electric as what his debut was, but his stuff was flat his last time out. His fastball didn't have life. The slider command was really not that great. And he had big dip in velocity his second start. And this is something that we were watching pretty closely when he was at AAA, is this inconsistency. But remember what got Alek Manoah to the major leagues, and that was a need for the Blue Jays to cover innings. More than anything, they had to get him in New York. He was already stretched out. They had no other options, and this is another reason why I thought Thomas Hatch, before the setback, would beat Manoah to the big leagues. They need somebody to go out there and consistently cover innings and fight. And Alek Manoah, whether his stuff is flat or if it's electric. He's going to go out there and battle, and he's not going to shy away. That's just his moxie when he's on the mound. And I expect the same. And I expect the realization that sometimes you're just not going to have the A stuff like you did in your debut. So there are going to be starts where you're going to have to figure it out. And that's what a bonus week in the big leagues will do for anybody, and understand and get that book a little thicker. And you watch him. Watch the TV cutaways. Alec Manoah is like studying everything. It doesn't matter if Bo is in the batter's box or Robbie Ray is out on the mound, you know, grunting away. Alec Manoah is like sponging every moment of this major league life that he's in right now. He's fascinating to watch from afar.
So you mentioned Bo, just as an example, someone hitting. How would you characterize his season? Because Vladdy's had this massive breakout. It looks like Semien's been a brilliant signing, and maybe they can find a way to keep him around with more term, be it a one-year qualifying offer or a deal. But Bo has been hitting .200 all year. When Springer gets back, I don't know that he will, and I don't know that he's had a great season. He hasn't been bad, but we've seen him a lot better than this, haven't we?
We have. We've seen him more consistent. He's not bad. I wouldn't classify Bo as being in the bad category. I would just classify Bo right now as being in an inconsistent category. He has admitted, you know, that he's finding himself mechanically a lot at the plate right now. He doesn't feel comfortable when he's in the batter's box. And I thought earlier in the season, his offensive woes and some of the dips and even further down valleys with that was because he was struggling defensively, you know, but he's been pretty decent the last 4 or 5 weeks in the field defensively, but the bat just hasn't come around. And I think he's going to be one of those guys that will hit his way out and swing his way out of whatever this funk is that he's feeling at the plate. And then the Blue Jays are going to benefit this. I still think that he'll stay in that number two spot, by the way, if Springer ever comes back. I think that Semien could slot down, and then you have an even deeper lineup. If you get Marcus in that 5 or 6 spot, and then you get a punch of Hernandez, Grichuk, or Semien, Grichuk, and, you know, fill the 8 and the 9 slot in, and then kind of this rotation in 7, depending on who has to DH. But that's kind of my make out of this lineup, because I don't think you're going to help Bo, or you're going to help the team, honestly, if you move him down in the order.
Well, be ready tonight, because they might need you. Get the.
Well, are you righty? We need to know this. Like, righty, lefty?
Be loose.
I've got my power and my A stuff.
Yeah.
Spider attack with the right hand.
Yeah, I need you to prepare today as if you're going in, so be ready.
Seriously.
I'm ready. This is why we do the reps.
That's right.
Know, 7 o'clock Eastern.
For moments,
I heard you were touching
like
65
this.
The other day. Is that right?
That's the speed of my golf cart.
Good to talk to you, man. Be good.
Always great to chat. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, man. You bet. There's Ben Wagner, Blue Jays broadcast team, the Jays. 6-1.
It's painful when you see a start like that, isn't it? Because you're like, man, that you've got someone dealing against one of the best teams in baseball, 13 games over before a win last night, and God, you could give him some run support more than just a sac fly in, what, the third inning or whatever.
And I didn't realize till I looked this morning. Like, I knew Lynn was having a great year. Like, 7-1.
So.
1.23.
Oof, that is tidy.
I mean, dude's 34. I'd like, it's not some fresh face. Guy's been around forever and having one of the best years of his career. So good test for the old bats.
They're in one here. The best, what the doctor would like to order is like 12 runs by the fourth inning so they don't have to worry about dusters and high leverage again. But I just don't know that Lance Lynn's going to give you that.
What did I read this morning? I was reading Shy, just kind of talking about the litmus test that they're kind of in here right now.
Yeah.
Facing these teams.
Just division leaders and teams above them.
Yeah.
They get Boston next.
They're 6-8 against Cleveland, Houston, Oakland, and with that loss last night to the White Sox.
And that's who you're chasing in terms of, okay, maybe it's Cleveland or Chicago that wins the Central, but the other team is going to be in the wild card. Ditto for Oakland and Houston in the West. And they got to reel in Boston. They have played New York tight. I don't know you're going to get three teams out of the AL East into the playoffs, not with the caliber of those teams you just mentioned.
No.
There's going to be a wild card in the Central or the West, maybe both.
breaking, coming back with the Pinder Report. Two fantastic hockey games last night. We've seen some dogs, man, but not last night. They were beauties, even though, again, that two of these teams, two of the teams that played last night are going home. One of them already is, and one is soon to be. Is really kind of unfortunate. Maybe it sets things up for a great round three and four. But, man, there's some good teams sitting on the sidelines. We'll get to that. Versteeg coming up. Good guy. He's a good guy.
Talk good guy, about, bad contract? Good guy, good contract?
I think he was always, well.
He's good and good, I think.
I think he was a good guy, good contract. Maybe upside down there for a little bit in the middle of his career. Then in the eight, we'll do F, I'm Old for Wild Rose Brewery. Mine is similar to one I had a couple of years ago, but very much like the standing in line at the Garden Center waiting for it to open. It hit me very quickly. It wasn't one of those ones where I had to think back that, yeah, that was an old... No, this struck me very quickly. And I'm just going to have to sit in it. I'm going to marinate in it, and I'm going to bathe in it, because I'm pathetic, really, when it comes down to it. Kind of a pathetic story.
Father Time's undefeated, Dean. It's just sometimes you just got to lie down and surrender.
Fair enough. The Pinder Report, when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Guests of the show, like Ben Wagner, join us on the hotline, brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Takeout, delivery, if you're just hungry or even hangry. Call 403-248-3344. That's 248-3344. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. Tampa Bay is through. The Lightning. The Lightning have won two series, have been the clearly winning. It's not very much deserving to be off to the semis. And they haven't had home ice. It hasn't mattered. They've just looked so steady and so good and so comfortable. It's hard to watch the way they're operating right now and thinking that they can be beaten, isn't it? And things happen fast. We were saying the same thing about Colorado.
Colorado won six in a row, and they were never going to lose again. And 3 games later, they're on the brink. But yes, I do feel the same way.
The fact that they did it a year ago under similar circumstances, maybe more difficult or trying circumstances than now, it gives you the shakes if you're one of the remaining teams. You've got Boston or the New York Islanders next round. They beat both of them last year on their cup run in the bubble, and you think this year. So you wrap this, not to get ahead of it, but you wrap this series up. And a year ago, you were sitting in Edmonton, and you could go sit on the concrete slab and get some sun and drink a Tim Hortons. Or now you're in Tampa, and you can live your normal life and go out with the boys and do some different things and celebrate the victories and prepare the right way.
The rental fencing is pretty appealing.
It really is. Beautiful.
They had that one basketball net. I don't know. I might side with that.
Yeah, and the sight lines are similar, too.
Yeah, yeah. There's that tent city across the street there. I think I'm going to go with Edmonton.
So hard to repeat, but man, they look like they're on a mission. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. More on the Tampa Bay Lightning. More on the Vegas Golden Knights, but right now it's time for the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city, and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Stanley Cup field is down to 6 teams. It could be down to 5 tonight. The Jays need a slight tweak of their entire bullpen. Our men's national soccer team a step closer to qualifying for the World Cup in Qatar next year. And we have a stave-tastic matchup on Long Island tonight. It's all ahead in the Pinder Report, Dean. Let's hit it with the NHL. Game 5, Canes, Lightning, Carolina trying to stave. Tough go for the Stavers of late. Scoreless after 20. Dean, if you like pretty goals, just keep giving the Lightning power plays. They'll do it for you, and the Canes did it in the second.
Here's a chance for Killorn coming in. Killorn over point. Had to go to the backhand. He scores! A power play goal by Braden Point. And Tampa has a 1-0 lead.
Just a gorgeous finish as he cuts in, fakes forehand right shot, turns to the backhand, and immediately tucks it in top shelf. That's 21 goals and 21 assists in his last 31 playoff games.
He has been... he's underpaid. You could be paying him 2-3 times what he's being paid, and he would still be a value, because this is the best. You see, he's tied this year for the cup lead, the lead in goals. You mentioned last year, the game-winning goals, series-clinching goals.
There was a strong case to be made that despite Hedman winning the Conn Smythe, that it could or should have been Point. And yes, there was. You need lots of good players to win the cup, but he was that good. You could have been convinced he was snubbed.
And I don't think it's a situation where Braden Point is excelling because there's other skilled guys that the other team has to focus on.
He's the straw man.
It's amazing watching him. That goal last night, that's special. That's
incredible,
a special set of skills.
And I don't need people on Twitter sending me backpack gifts when I mention Braden Point, because I didn't even mention what round he was in. I didn't mention where he was from.
He's just a good player. But now
I'm just clarifying. Like, there was no backpack at all.
It's kind of backpack when you...
Can I not? I can't even talk about Braden Point anymore? Is that
You can
that
talk about Braden Point, but you were
all
doing
right.
So well.
I know.
And then you had to back...
I just am clarifying that to this point, there had not been. Now that I've mentioned it, okay, but you get my point. To the third period, we go, still 1-0 Tampa. Oh, dear. It's not our world, Dean.
It's grabbed by Lorenz. He overskates, and it's Colton the other way. Ross Colton from the circle. Shoots. Scores! Ross Colton! 2-0 Tampa!
And this is just Tampa being Tampa. Not only do they have the best goalie in the game, and arguably the best defenseman in the game, and arguably the best group of forwards in the game, but then they just pull someone up that's, you know, oh, he was playing in the Midwest League and scored 1,000 goals 2 years. Ross Colton, Dean. Ross Colton's world. From New Jersey.
Can I get a
yeehaw? Another goal. Huh. That was it. 2-0 your final, 4-1 series win, another shutout from Vasilevskiy. See you, Canes.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Bolts are on to round three. They'll face the winner of the Bruins and Islanders. Vasilevskiy is simply untouchable when it matters the most for the Bolts. Here's their last three series-clinching wins. Dallas in the bubble, game six, shutout. Florida round one, game six, shutout. Last night against Carolina, say it with me,
shutout.
Yeah. Three shutouts in a row in games to close series. That's
first to ever do it, by the way. I don't know if you mentioned that. I think maybe
tidy.
You did or didn't. But
Tidy.
And those are the only three playoff shutouts he has, are the three series clinching ones in consecutive fashion.
He's now also just a win away from becoming the winningest Russian netminder ever in the playoffs. I believe last night his 41st win.
Curtis Joseph, number one.
Evgeny Nabokov.
Oh, okay.
Outstanding.
That's right. And Vasilevskiy just 26, by the way, if you need him.
He doesn't want to leave.
So whatever you
probably going to shatter that thing by next week.
So the lesson that we learn, Ryan, Carey Price, putting on a show.
Mm-hmm.
Vasilevskiy,
mm-hmm.
putting on a show.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a first-round pick, goaltender... clearly the way to go.
Yeah, and Leland Irving's team is rolling too, not to mention Cron and company.
I don't know.
Puke. It's not like they're not there. There's just a lot of swing and miss in there as well. Tampa's through to the semis for the fifth time in 7 years. Five times in the final four in the last 7 years. That is remarkable.
One word. Look out.
Right? Since 2001, Dean, they had some years that were awful in there. Tampa's now won 95 playoff games. Of all the teams remaining in the playoffs, that's second best. Boston has one more at 96. Colorado's got 72. Montreal, 58. Carolina, 53. Islanders, 37. Vegas already has 32 playoff wins, which is wild. It's their fourth year in the league. They have 32 playoff wins.
It's special. I know. It's special. Every time you have the conversation, it's so hard to win, and only one team wins, and it's difficult. And then mm-hmm. you flip the coin. It's like, well, at the same time, you can win some playoff games if you want.
Yeah, you could definitely, you know, look at an expansion team that's pretty much embarrassing 2/3 of the league with how to run a team.
Get in every once in a while and win some rounds. You need 4 wins, yeah. I think, to win a round. So, yeah, put 6, 7, 8 wins a year together in the playoffs.
Yeah. Do it, yeah. Get to the second round, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chicago and L.A., by the way, would have a ton of wins, but we're just talking to active teams in the playoffs. Yeah, they had their time in the sun, and I think if you're a Blackhawks or a King fan, yeah, whatever. We got rings, baby. Don't worry about us. Pittsburgh as well would be in the mix. Let's go to that expansion team we're all jealous of, Vegas in Colorado. A huge game for both teams. Knights looking to come home with a chance to seal the series at T-Mobile. The Avs, meanwhile, looking to stay perfect at home. Great start for the Avs.
5 seconds to go in the period. Saad looks up at the clock, holding, shooting. He scores! Leave the puck! Take the cannoli!
Yep.
With 0.8 seconds to go in the first period, it's the Saad father with his 7th goal of the playoff!
Pick him up, Dean. 7. Holy.
Really working the Saad father there.
We've tried a little too hard.
So if we heard that, you mean to tell me we've heard that 7 times in the last 8 games, that bit from Johnny Big Voice there?
Johnny Big Voice has missed like the full punchline on some of them, but he's referenced it at least. Yeah. Take the puck, leave the cannoli, whatever. Yeah, sure.
Saad's been great though. 7 in the last 8.
Very, very good.
And that one there, if you didn't see it, it's a complete whiff with 2 seconds left by Fleury.
Yes, he throws his stick, skates to the corner in disgust.
It kind of goes high over his right shoulder. He kind of tries to reach over with his catching hand and misses it. It's a great seeing eye shot, but it's certainly easily stopped. And I wonder if Fleury had just kind of tapped out a little bit there with the clock coming down.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's the thing.
Great players sometimes have a way of saying, "I'll get that one back, boys. Don't worry about me."
Yeah, he would make amends, Dean. Donskoy would make it 2-0. The Knights were in a 2-0 hole after 40. Cue the sweaty palms in Denver, though, because the Golden Knights started to rally.
Well, on it again in front. Tuck to the net. Scores! Alex Tuck gets the opportunity. He bangs it home, and Vegas is on the board.
Now, do we recognize that guitar riff, the little beat there?
I wasn't really...
Boomer in the Morning is on your radio, tablet, smartphone, and always on your smart speaker. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the #1 value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Hey, it's 7:15. This is the show, or a reasonable facsimile. Want to mention, you could be the envy of your neighborhood. Craftsman and Sportsnet teaming up to give one lucky winner the chance to win $20,000 in cash and Craftsman tools and storage to create their own dream garage. To enter for your chance to win the Craftsman Dream Garage Contest, visit sportsnet.ca/craftsman. Enter weekly to increase your chances. No purchase is necessary. Contest ends June 20th, 2021. See full rules for details. Craftsman tools available at Lowe's and Rona stores across Canada and amazon.ca. Played this one yesterday. It was the, I said it was very soft. Bruce Cassidy, after losing and going down 3-2, he's, of course, the head coach of the Boston Bruins, and going down to the Islanders in this series, he had this.
I think they sell a narrative over there that it's more like the New York Saints, you know, not the New York Islanders. That, you know, they play hard and they play the right way, but I feel we're the same way. And the calls, the exact calls that are getting called on us, do not get called on them. So, and I don't know why. These are very good officials. They're at this point in the season for a reason.
Yeah. And it went on. He then talked about Bergeron being treated unfairly. And come on, guys. He got fined $25,000 for what it's worth.
And to be fair, full disclosure, Barry Trotz moaned about Bergeron's faceoff technique while pretending to compliment him and immediately got him tossed from a bunch of faceoffs early the following game. So that's what got Cassidy going on the Bergeron train.
I thought that was going to be one of that's about as the softest thing I was going to see for a while. Very soft.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Did you see what happened in Toronto last night and through the night and into this morning?
Whose idea was that?
Now, in Toronto, if you've never been, it's a neat little skyline. You've got water there and the
large city, Dean.
The rink is right there, and the baseball thing, the Sky Dome thing is right there. They have there's the aquarium. Ripley's, believe it or not, it's just a wonderful little spot. Yeah, lots to do, lots to see.
There's the guys pulling rickshaw with hot oil massage ads on the back. Yeah, right. It's all there. Yeah.
Also, within that proximity is the CN Tower. It's like the Calgary Tower, except it actually towers over things, unlike the Calgary Tower. Anyway.
I used to, but yeah.
Last night, on their Twitter account, it came out, and or I guess it was yesterday afternoon, and it immediately sparked interest. I felt like this has got to be something that's going to get major play. It read as follows. Tonight, the CN Tower will be lit red, blue, and white for the Montreal Canadiens, who will go on to represent Canada's hope for a 2021 NHL Stanley Cup. So the CN Tower in Toronto, sporting Montreal Canadiens colors.
Just awful.
I can't imagine. Think Calgary Tower. Can you imagine here in Calgary pumping Oiler colors, or in Edmonton if they were, what?
I'm just trying to imagine the Yankees losing to the Red Sox and the Red Sox going on to face the Blue Jays and them saying, hey, America's team, the Red Sox, we're going to light up the Empire State Building blue, right, or red. Like that, it is that insane. And yet here we are. It actually happened. Who's going to get fired? I feel like we need there's blood on somebody's hands here in Toronto.
I don't know. Because you don't just do that. Is there one person who's making that decision? Hey, maybe we should put up Canadian colors. Yeah, well, that sounds like a good idea. Me? Go ahead and do that.
There's only one way this makes sense in my mind. And that is when the Leafs are up 3-1, somebody was trying to impress the boss and say, hey, why don't we tell the CN Tower to go the winning colors of the North Division? So we could show some national pride, thinking it would be blue and white when things started to crumble. Otherwise, this is tar and feather the human that did this, please.
And as you might expect, Leaf fans in Toronto, quite upset.
Oh, yeah. It's awful. Like, no.
Do
you understand
weird
sport, people?
It's a very weird decision. Yeah, that's your.
Let's celebrate our rivals. What?
Someone has made that decision that that really doesn't understand sports and rivalries and what it meant. Oh, is that a bad thing? I just thought it'd be our Canadian team. Yeah.
I'm just cheering for a good game. Like, what? You're putting Montreal colors on the CN Tower? No.
Bad call.
Horrible. Embarrassing. Gross.
Now, that said, where I sit, it makes me howl because it's just more for Leaf fans.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot for them these days.
Right? Like you thought maybe they'd be able to have some peace and quiet for a little while. But no, this is just more salt in the wound, rub their face into it, that their team stunk and got blown out by the Habs after a 3-1 lead. That's the only that's the only other thing that if they had like banners hanging. It's like, it was 3-1.
Yeah. Maybe John Tavares Day, they could light it up in Habs colors, too. They made that silly civic.
Galchenyuk turned the puck over. Like,
oh, God.
Have like
Dermot
a ticker.
Coughed it up.
That's right. That's pretty good. 721, Chris Versteeg will join us.
Wonder if he could see it from his palatial
maybe. We'll ask
estate
him.
Outside the city.
But Vegas Golden Knights, what a performance by Marc-Andre Fleury. Again, as I said earlier, Ryan, if you have a first-round pick and you can spend it on a goaltender, clearly you should, because
that's
we've seen, with what we've seen from Carey Price and Vasilevsky and Marc-Andre Fleury, unbelievable performances. And you only get those guys in the first round, clearly. So, food for thought. We'll talk to Steger when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning continues. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
Morning Show text line is brought to you by SML Entertainment, making family time more exciting with pool tables, pinball, ping pong, beachcomber, caldera, hot tubs, and more. Visit them online, smlentertainment.com. After 8, we will do FI Mold for Wild Rose Brewery. Get your story ready. Get your tale of old age set. Text it in at 96960, and you could pick up a $50 gift card, which all of a sudden... the patio, use it however you want. Get some grub, get some takeout, whatever it is, or some delicious Wild Rose beers right from the from the belly of the beast. They're better there, right? When it's right from the brewery.
Not even close, Dean. It's like anything else, fresher is better.
Yeah, right from the brew dog. He'll hand them right over to you. So good.
Tuesday set up there, no big deal. Yeah.
So that's coming up after 8. Right now, let's catch up with Chris Versteeg.
Chris Versteeg on Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Clever App. Coming this fall, Clever App will revolutionize the way parents and coaches watch and connect with their athletes through video. Go to klevr.ai to know more and subscribe now.
Steger.
Morning.
How we doing, buddy?
Well, you know, I fell asleep during the third period, so I woke up to see what happened last night this morning.
Yeah, if only you knew that you didn't have to stay up yeah, much longer, because it was 50 seconds into the extra frame, and it was lights out.
I fell asleep going into the third period.
Yeah.
2-0 at that point. Wow.
It was 2-0. I was like, oh. And literally, I know that they were going to put it on a plate for Vegas with 2 goals, and then they were going to come back. But, yep, woke up today shocked.
Yeah, they... A lot of attention being paid to Mark Stone right now. Obviously, the former senator. He's a sixth-round pick coming out of Brandon. Goes to Ottawa and turns into a pretty serviceable guy and then starts putting up the numbers. 26 goals, 23 goals, 22. And I remember because the Flames were involved in trade talks to get Mark Stone. They wanted to bring him to Calgary, but it was kind of... The thought process was... Mark Stone played for Kelly McCrimmon and Brandon. Crimmer's in Vegas. This is where he wants to go. As a UFA, he was going to sign there anyway. Vegas trades some prospects and a second rounder to get him, and then immediately shell out $9.5 million on a huge contract. But the guy is, I mean, he's not pretty to watch. He's not a particularly good skater, but he's up for the Selkie. Another 21 goals this year and 61 points in 55 games. He might be the best just kind of okay player in the National Hockey League.
You know where, I don't know if he still actually uses it. The most I've ever been impressed in my life is with his blade. So this blade, it was like he used a half blade. He can tip anything. His stick's everywhere. He's got a long reach. And it's almost like, you think about the player as a kid, even myself, when you're small your whole life, or if you're slower, what do you have to use in order to compete, right? It's your brain, right? So your brain, your process, the plays you make, everything have to go faster. And that's what Mark Stone had to do, obviously, as a youth. His feet weren't where it needed to be, so he had to use his brain. And it's paying dividends later. It's paying huge dividends later in life because he can just process the game so fast. It doesn't look pretty when he's doing it. But his stick, again, his stick is unbelievable at stripping pucks. He's just a way better version than Joel Armia to me. Joel Armia is a great guy at stripping pucks. He just can't make the play after he strips generally, even though he's having a good playoffs right now. But that's what he is, Mark Stone. And again, clutch. Talk about a player who loves the moment. When his teammates score, it's like he's going to squeeze their head off.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was, I can't remember, game three, first game in Vegas. And someone scored, and it was like he was screaming at his face, his teammate's face. Like, that is like the emotion you need. That's what you win. That's your leader.
And it really is remarkable to see. And then again, he comes through in the clutch. That's what you want. You can't ask anything for it. And yeah, again, back to the prettiness. It's not there, but it doesn't matter when you're doing what he does.
He's a maniac. He's an absolute nut. Like you watch him, maniac. He's so
tenacious.
Pretty much
the right word. Yeah, you're like, he's possessed. You know, he's like, it's like he's foaming at the mouth, ready to go. It's unbelievable. And how would you not want to follow that guy into battle? And that's Vegas, like, that's what their crowd's like. Like, I remember playing my last ever game with the Flames in Vegas. And I don't know if I talked to you guys about this yet. Maybe stop me if I have. But I remember, like, the arena was shaking. The bass was so loud in warm-ups that a guy's beer fell off the ledge. And then I was looking at the pucks, and I'm like, the pucks are vibrating on the ice. So you take this, like, atmosphere. These guys haven't really played in front of fans all year. And you put someone like Mark Stone in the belly of the beast, it's like this: the place is going to blow up, and you have this leader going out there playing at that intensity with another added boost of fans, which does make 100% difference, because watching an American game compared to Canadians, not even close. The Canadian ones are horrible to watch. So it's like it is crazy to see that guy is leading that team in that atmosphere, and it's almost like, what do you do? You know, what do you do? These guys are all possessed because their captain is.
And you look
what was that last game? Sorry, Dean. Because we went down there. We were down for the first game ever the Flames played in Vegas. It was bring your moms on the trip night, and they didn't get a shot for 11 minutes. Was that it, or was it a different one?
No, that was embarrassing. So my mom, I came on that trip, and I was, it was about was two weeks. Oh, yeah, it was bad. It was about 2 weeks. I remember my mom was up there, and then they're all dancing in the press box. And I don't know what they were dancing about because they weren't winning, but the moms had a great time. But I played like 2 weeks later. I think it was. We played them again 2 weeks later. And that was, that was it. But I remember even being out there. I'm like, this is regular season. I feel like I can't touch the puck. Also, I was horrible that night. But regardless, I was like, it is nuts in here. It was like a nightclub.
And I was just going to say, in that game-winning goal, it's Petrangelo to Pacioretty to Stone. That goal just a little bit more than $25 million in combined salary. So it's a big goal, but
captain to captain, right?
They're paying. It's interesting. We still view this Vegas team in a way as an expansion club. It's amazing what they did in year one and year two, and now they've taken the money that obviously they have. They're a cap team. You have something special when you're an expansion team and you can bring in free agents. Like Stone was going to go whether he was traded or not, and he signed the extension there anyway. Pacioretty, he wanted to be there. Petrangelo chose them. We've really never seen anything quite like it. I don't know, maybe in sport where there's a team that is that fresh, that young, and has had that level of success and has become such a destination for big top-end free agents in the sport.
Well, I'm going to give you a few reasons. First off, Las Vegas, the weather, perfect. It's the dry heat. That's number one. Number two, insane fan base in that heat, right? Great weather every day, insane fan base, crazy games, crazy atmosphere. The organization treats you incredible. And last but not least, state tax. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. And those guys have another negotiating tool on their side. So there's so many like favorable things in Vegas. And the biggest thing for me, though, is like you could go play in Florida, and Florida's a great destination. I played there, but you don't get that fan base, right? And that's why the Tampa Bay Lightning, I feel, get better free agents generally, is because, well, if I'm going to go to Florida, I better be able to play in front of 18, 20,000 every night. And that's why Tampa Bay has such success. And back to Vegas, much of the same thing. They have the crazy fan base. You have crazy good weather, even better than Florida, because I love the dry heat. You have better weather. And again, the state tax. So you got the trifecta.
So the Habs have done it again. I think basically we talked to you a week ago, and they've swept the team and moved on to round three since. What do you make of Winnipeg, and what do you make of Montreal after that quick series?
First off, what is going on in Oiler Nation watching that?
I would think very much what could have been, right?
Can I ask a quick question
before we talk about this? What would happen if the Oilers were going right now and they lit up the Calgary Tower in Oiler orange and blue?
Yeah, we talked about that last segment.
Would you guys be okay with that?
It would be hard to take.
No. Someone would get fired.
It would be hard to take.
You can't do that.
And people are, you know, the CN head office is in Montreal, so maybe it's a little bit of shade on their behalf, but I'm not sure where you would see that, where else you would have seen that in sport. We talked about New York. You're not lighting it up in Boston Red Sox colors. It's,
you can't do that.
You really shouldn't. You can't do that. That's right.
You can't do that. Anyways, that's what I was just thinking. I was like, this is, like, could you imagine in Alberta if they lit up the Calgary Tower with orange and blue? Like,
City Hall would burn, yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It's so, by the way, on the Oilers thing, last year they lose to Chicago in the play-in round. Chicago goes on to get pumped in the next round.
Yeah.
This year they lose to the Jets, sweep. They go on to get pumped in four. I don't know how that means anything, but it certainly Dave Tippett's clubs have bowed out to teams that have got punished the next round. He must be tiring them out, hey?
Well, that could be part of the issue. I think you're right. Coaching, for me, watching how they utilize certain guys is a massive issue. But, like, Winnipeg is not a good team. Like, I didn't think they were a good team finishing the season, and that's why I picked Edmonton to win in five games. I thought Connor was going to have a field day with that defense core, because Winnipeg's defense clearly got exposed with the pressure Montreal put on them each and every night. And I thought that they could do that, and clearly they didn't. And Winnipeg got to a level that, I mean, I don't even think they were at a good level. They just played a bad Oilers team, and that's what happened. And they shut down Connor and Leon just enough, because they know they don't have enough scoring on the back end. But watching this Montreal team again, Montreal, and I'm not going to wave from what I said. Montreal, I said, could win this division just because this division's not that good. They're a good team. They're not a great team. I think they're built really well for the playoffs. They're going to make it hard on teams to put them out. And they put a ton of pressure on a very bad defense wave after wave. They just wouldn't let their D make any plays. And besides Morrissey, Pionk, okay. But besides him, there's really no one on that Winnipeg Jets team that can consistently make plays coming out of their zone or skate the puck out. So they got hemmed in. Montreal stuck to a game plan. And Montreal has been, for sure, the best Canadian team, hands down. It's just, I'd be interested to see how they would do in a seven-game series, even against Carolina. You know what I mean? And Carolina just got it handed to them by Tampa Bay. They weren't even on the same class. But, you know, or Pittsburgh or these other teams, you know, like, I'd be interested to see that, because they haven't faced these teams yet. So next round when they play Colorado or Vegas is going to see how well that bolds. But again, for me, I still think they're a good team. They're just not a great team.
It is interesting, because all season long you heard people talk about the weakness of the division, and you kind of felt it and you kind of knew it, but it's sure been exposed in the playoffs, because the Jets were not very good and they swept the Oilers, and the Leafs didn't seem to have what it took, and now the Habs are through. But I'm with you. You can throw Washington in that group, teams that were beaten in round one. Mm-hmm. Again, Habs fans won't like to hear it and will disagree vehemently with it, but I think that the Habs would have their hands full and would not, they wouldn't get past the Pittsburgh. They wouldn't get past Washington.
No, I don't believe so either. And again, just back to the whole division, like, there's no momentum swings in the Canadian division.
Yeah,
just because
true.
There's no fans. So it's like when there's a game, it's like one or two goals ahead. It's like you're sleeping. The game's over, and that's how it looks like for the players too. It's like, well, there's no one in this to give me that, you know, that feeling, that juice that the fans bring. They are everything to our game, like literally everything. And it's never been more apparent than it is now, seeing how intense players get playing in front of fans, you know,
and
seeing the momentum swings. Cause I see them in the American games. I don't see them in the Canadian games. Right.
That's a good point. I just look at the division, like, who would have qualified in the East division where you had
Maybe Boston, Toronto.
Washington, the Islanders, and Pittsburgh. Like, Toronto could get in because they're good in the regular season. But beyond that, like, there's three teams that were in the playoffs in the North that wouldn't even get in that division.
No one else would have got in the North, in that division, in the East. If you're looking at Colorado, Vegas.
Minnesota, St. Louis, yeah.
Minnesota, St. Louis, like, there would be – Toronto would probably get in. Maybe. I mean, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at so again, when I look at the NHL though, like their bet, the Canadian teams for me finish between 14, 13, and 20, and 19, 18. You know what I mean? I feel like they're not the worst in the league. Maybe some of them teeter down to the bottom, but they're not near the top. Does that make sense? They're like, they slot in higher than the California teams, almost all seven Canadian teams, but they're not above any of the top 10, 12 teams.
Looking at, you mentioned Tampa Bay and how they rolled over Carolina. I know things happen fast, things move quickly, and our opinions change in a hurry. Everybody, we were all loving Colorado before they went to Vegas, and now they're down 3-2. And it's like, where's McKinnon? Where's the scoring gone? But watching the way Tampa Bay has done business, I would guess you've played on winning teams. You know what having winning experience is like. But it's not just that they're winning, because they're not necessarily blowing teams out. It was 2-0. They had to squeak one out. They're getting a lot of production on the power play. I think basically in this series, half of their goals came on the power play. But they have the look of a team that knows how to win. And that's such a cliche thing, and I feel like it's a media thing. And at the deadline, you got to bring in guys that can win. But not one instance has this Lightning team looked shaken or unsteady, and how much of that has to be from what they learned a year ago.
100%. They're unbelievable. And they're the team I've never wavered from, even when they finished third in the division. I measure every single team in the league based off of Tampa Bay just because their depth. They won a Stanley Cup without having Stamkos in relatively the whole playoffs, right? Till the end.
One period? Yeah.
Like one period. And this team won a Stanley Cup without that guy for the majority of the time. They still have, to me, the best defenseman, hands down, on the planet. They have the best goalie, hands down, on the planet. And then they have Kucherov, who comes back, and he's feeling it again. Their power play's great. And that's what they were kind of missing during the season, was the power play. So when I look at how to measure Vegas, how to measure Colorado, I measure them to Tampa Bay, not to each other. That's just how I look at it, just because you can see they know how to win. They're deep. They can beat you 1-0. They can beat you 5-0. They can beat you, 10-9. They can really beat you any single way, and that's how you have to win in the playoffs. They need a little luck as well, but yeah, they're just unbelievable. They come at you in waves. They can beat you off the rush, power play. They beat you in every facet of the game, where sometimes you can only win in two facets, but if you're going to win in the playoffs, you need to win below the dots. That's that cycle game, get the puck behind the net, cause confusion. They can beat you there too. They beat you in all three facets of like offensive parts of the game. So it's really incredible to watch, and how they just dismantled Carolina is crazy, because Carolina is an unbelievable team.
Rod Brindamore, I just wanted to say this, and then you've got Vasilevsky in net, who's been brilliant. There was a neat, kind of a cool moment, if you saw it, at the end of the handshake line last night, Vasilevsky and Rod Brindamore. And who doesn't love Rod Brindamore, right? He's so intense, and he's just, yeah, these nails, right? And he had a little chat with Vasilevsky. He was asked post game, what'd you say to Vasilevsky? And this was what his answer was: I've been around a long time. That's kind of what I said. I've seen a lot of goalies that were good, but he's as good as anyone that I've ever seen. I go back to Dominic Hasek and how he affects the team, the way they can play. He makes it look easy. Dominic Hasek made it look hard. We had a lot of great looks tonight, and they looked like nothing because he was in the right place or whatever. That's what I told him. And he's right.
He is right.
Yeah. Trocheck, right? On the one-time shot. He just slides over. And I mean, anybody else, that's a highlight reel, and it's swinging the glove around. He just gets over and makes the save. You've got the power play. You've got so much skill. But then you've got that defense. And plus, the defense is part, the forwards are part of that defense with how they back check. And then you've got the best goalie in the game. It feels like it's insurmountable. I don't know what has to happen for them not to find a way. And it happens. The dumb, weird things happen, but it's hard to look at Tampa right now and feel like someone's going to find the code.
Yeah, I still don't think anyone does this year. And if you look at Rod, I thought he was begging him, like, hey, man, we'll give you $100 million for a two-year deal. Just please come to us. That's what we need. If I look at him, like, the way he can take the bottom of the net away is, I don't know if it's hip flexibility or what it is, and he's like 6'5" as well, and he's super athletic, but it is damn near impossible to beat him on the ice or even like a foot off the ice. He just takes it away so well. And then he's got the hands as well to get it out of the air. But any chance you get, you got to get it up on Vasilevsky, or it's got to be a one-timer. If once the second you hold on to the puck a little bit too long against him, it gives him that time to get over. And you're right, everything looks easy. And that's kind of what I feel like when, you know, Carey Price is at the top of his game too. Some of these shots, like there's a two-on-one, I can't remember in what game, and it was going top corner. And it was like Carey didn't even move, you know, didn't even flinch. And it's like, well, that was not that easy of a save. Like, that was not easy at all. And that's the same thing with Vasilevsky. That's why they're two of the best. They make the job look easy, and they can also basically get rid of all their technique and do anything it takes to make a save at that moment too. And that's what the best goalies do. They can abandon their technique and they can rely on their instincts.
Getting a bunch of texts from my boys down in the Windy City, they're suggesting if you had somehow landed in Vegas, that might have ended your career prematurely, even more prematurely. How would you have done, and at what age could you have had success in Vegas?
Not early on, for sure. Not early on. that's just like, you know, playing in your hometown early on in your career. I could have never done that. You know, there's just no way. The latter half of my career, I could have. I would have had to go to a few shows because I do love, you know, a good Tiesto show here and there just to get my spirits back up. But
get the serotonin going.
Yeah, I could not have done it early on, I don't think.
Well, it's not like Chicago, some sleepy little town.
No, it's the best. It's still like Vegas. The weather, the pools, everything. It's just the best. But like, if you're talking just, I love a city more than anything, and it is Chicago, just because the sports, the people are just unbelievable. It's just a great, great town. So yeah, I mean, Chicago, we had a lot of fun. Definitely had a lot of fun. But yeah, the latter half of my career, let's say the last like 3 or 4 years, just like Calgary, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, very much. It's a dry heat. Tell us about the app and what's the latest.
Well, we got a lot of actually pretty cool things going on, talking to, you know, possible investors and the whole new world of business. You know, it's great though. We have about almost 100 athletes, parents, and coaches on the platform testing it out at the moment because we can't get it to the public, but getting a lot of feedback. And you guys let me know if you want to come on and test out the product. I'd love to get you on.
You need some highly tuned athletes? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, well, no, never
okay.
mind.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say.
I got some honeybee soccer going on tonight. Those 8 kids falling over the same ball. You need that? I'm in.
That's exactly what our app's for. It's for kids, athletes, any level. It helps you, again, you get a hold of me, it helps you capture the right moment, and then you can show them after. It's unbelievable. You would love it.
Right on. And where do they find it?
Sold.
So clever.ai, KLEVR.ai. That's a little bit of the sneak peek on what we're doing. Again, with proprietary tech and certain things we have, we can't be letting it out to the public just yet. So we're about 4 months away from that. But yeah, it's exciting. So we're having current test pools, people who are testing the product, letting us know what they like and don't like at the moment. So when we get it out to the masses, that everyone really has an unbelievable experience with it.
Attaboy. Good luck, Steger. Have a fine week. We'll catch up next Wednesday.
Bring them home.
Take care. Take care. Text me. Let's get you on it.
All righty. Thanks.
Done.
Okay.
Christopher Stieg on Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Clever App. If you're an athlete, parent, or coach, head over to klevr.ai or follow Clever App on Instagram as co-founder Christopher Stieg and his company get this revolutionary tool to market.
Went long with Steger. Good chat today. 7:53, we'll break and come back. After 8, we'll do some F I'm Old. So get your stories ready and be ready to text them in for a chance to win with Wild Rose Brewery. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to your morning show. This is Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Every afternoon, Steinberg has the Sports Drive at 5. It's brought to you by South Trail Hyundai. Fall in love with low payments from 0% plus no payments for 3 months. Check out South Trail Hyundai. tonight, after Steinberg is done with his sports drive at 5, Blue Jays, White Sox, game 2 of their set. Tough 6-1 loss last night. They'll look to...
Taipans was legit. That's too bad.
Yeah. See if Manoa can find the Manoa magic.
We need a name for him. Big unit there. He's something.
I loved... I had kept these after his last start. And because, again, it was not... The team, if you recall, he didn't have a great start, but the team rallied.
Yeah.
Team rallied, got the got him on, didn't take the loss. They won it. It's I love listening to how he talks.
It's baseball, man. Baseball, man.
It's baseball, man.
It's baseball, man.
No, just gotta keep competing, man.
Everything's man.
No, just gotta keep competing, man. You know, the job's not.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty cool, pretty loose.
It's baseball, man.
It's baseball, man. Yeah. Baseball, man. Now, we were talking earlier this hour about the CN Tower. And as you might expect, it's a big story in Toronto. The Toronto-based CN Tower, it was lit up last night and through the night with the colors of the Montreal Canadiens. The CN Tower on their social media said, it will be lit red, blue, and white for the Montreal Canadiens, who will go on to represent Canada's hope for a 2021 NHL Stanley Cup. So part of it is Montreal and Toronto. Now, if you did this, not necessarily taking a pot shot, if the Montreal Alouettes won the Grey Cup and they lit the tower in Alouettes colors, I don't think this resonates with people in Toronto like this does.
Well, if they just beat the Argos, maybe.
Maybe. But,
again, no one cares about the CFL Toronto, so that's not really the best example. This is the biggest team in the biggest market in hockey.
But that's what I'm getting at, is that there would be circumstances where you could put up enemy colors, if you will, and it wouldn't draw the attention that this has. A spokesperson for the CN Tower has said this morning, quote, "The CN Tower stands proudly in the heart of Toronto. It is a federally owned and operated property that belongs to all Canadians. Primarily, the CN Tower's lighting helps to raise awareness for registered charities and causes. Our lighting also helps to celebrate Canadian arts, culture, and sports. We have lit it for Grey Cup champions. We have lit to highlight the achievements of Canadian musicians and performers. And we have helped to cheer on Canadian teams in international sporting competitions."
Blah, 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 blah. We don't have a clue what we're doing.
Now, did you know that it belongs to all Canadians? I had no idea that
it's
had a stake.
Federal land there, is it not?
That's nice. It's kind of like, I feel like I should have a certificate or something.
I feel like at least a discount code.
Yep. Belongs to all Canadians.
Maybe a promo code and half off Jays tickets when the world heals. I'd do that.
But it was tremendous knowing that the instant you saw on social media that was going to happen, that it was going to absolutely pucker Leaf fans in Toronto. And I can only imagine there'd be some... I mean, who does PR for the CN Tower? I'm guessing that's usually a very sleepy job. Maybe a couple calls a day. Someone from the charities are emailing, "Hey, any chance we could get the tower lit up in September for our cause?" That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You send out the tweet or whatever on the social media. My guess is the emails and the phones started blaring.
Yeah,
almost
that was not a slow day. That would have been a lot of attention immediately drawn. Oh, and like, oh, you're federal land. We get it. Where are you located? What do the people that think that live there think? You probably could have not put up Habs colors. This ain't a charity. The Habs are for profit, and they're the biggest rival maybe that city has. Like, another sport, another team, what's a bigger rival than the Habs? There can't be one.
Hmm.
There's no rivalry for the CFL because no one goes to the damn games. It's friends and family. Baseball, it's like, okay, well, it's the Yankees, it's the Red Sox, whatever. Not really one team you hate. NBA, no.
But
like, this is the worst thing you could do if you're the CN Tower. There is not a team you could honor in sport that is more offensive than what they just did yesterday.
The worst slash best, depending on which side
totally.
Of the fence.
Right? Absolutely. If you're Team Chaos, this is the best.
Yeah. We've got... I've got some stuff. I'm not going to forget to play it, but there's some baseball audio I want to share with you.
We still
up.
Have that Shohei Ohtani Showtime we got to get to you, too.
Oh, right. Yeah, we'll get to
how much you love that segment.
No, we will absolutely. We will get to that, and we will get to FI Mold. So get them ready. Get your tails ready because we'll disappoint and depress ourselves when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Are we going to have... So, tomorrow, Tommy Wheeldon?
Yeah, I think we should do Tommy in the 8. I'll see if that works for him tomorrow. We're right. A day ahead of Euro. We got to get ready.
UEFA Euro 2020. Yes, I understand. There was circumstances.
2020 and 2021.
Tommy Wheeldon Jr. is our footy fanatic and insider, and he's going to join us throughout Euro. And it's a presentation of, that's right, Hyatt Infinity. Finance your infinity from 0% or get up to $14,000 in savings.
Woo.
Hyatt Infinity on Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane. I had actually seen it on the old social media, on the news wire, but you had sent me a little note in our little chat. So I'm guessing this is good news, right?
This is very helpful if one wants to drink microbrews in Seattle and watch the Blue Jays and Mariners in August.
Is that right?
Well, I mean, my flight got canceled yesterday, but otherwise, yes.
What happened there, by the way?
Regarding?
Your flight.
Well, it's been, last year didn't happen, so I took the refunded money and bought tickets for this year's series, Blue Jays Mariners. If you're a Canadian sports fan and you don't do this before you die, you've really failed yourself. It's one of the great Canadian sporting experiences. And so, Glasser and I were going to go down. I lost a bet to him. The wager was flights. Had some, credit I needed to use. So it worked out okay that way. But then I guess with, you know, the pandemic, they had to cut back some of the routes. And one of those routes is the Friday morning flight to Seattle for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday series.
So what's your contingency now?
Well, he's a pilot, so that's an option, but then we got to pay for fuel, and that's going over some mountain ranges. So you got to kiss your loved ones and cross your fingers. You could spin it into a bigger road trip. You could rebook different flights. I do have to call today to find out. That email came in like 24 hours ago.
So,
give us a call. Your flight doesn't exist anymore.
So what is your level of confidence that you'll be going on this trip?
66.66 repeating percent.
That's not a lucky number. I would feel
it's
like two-thirds. That's probably.
It's
well,
very
yeah.
lucky. It's better than half.
666. I just feel like that's, you're doomed there.
What about 66.1%?
Sure, that's better.
Okay.
Yeah. But it seems like the news this morning is, if you've gotten your vaccinations or whatever, you're not going to...
Fully vaccinated. Yeah.
Which is the deuce, right? You need the
deuce.
Well,
it depends on which one. Yeah, we don't have Johnson & Johnson, I don't believe, but that's a single shot. All the ones we have are double shots at this point, yeah.
So if you've gotten the deuce, you can travel. You can go to the States, and when you come back, you don't need to do your two-week quarantine.
How about that?
How about
what
that?
Is the quarantine going to be? That probably remains it.
Right.
It's going to be at least less than 14, which makes sense for fully vaccinated humans. Is it 100% risk-free? No. Is it 100% common sense to make people that are fully vaccinated wait 2 weeks? No. There's probably some wiggle room in the middle.
You know we're getting vaccinated. Am I right?
I hope so. The more that do it, the more we can return to life.
Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
I took the song.
Because what was the words normally? The original was...
You got to keep them separated.
Right. And you turn the words to...
But now we're getting vaccinated. Right? Pretty good. Fair enough.
Dean changing the words to keep them separated to getting vaccinated.
It rhymes.
Are you licking it up? Are you licking it up?
It rhymes. Come on.
I'm licking it up.
Yeah, that's right. Riley, let's do our sponsored bit here.
Do you suffer from chronic muscle and joint pain? Do you walk into a room and forget why you went there? Do you often hurt yourself while sleeping? Do those damn kids keep playing that hippity-hop music too loud? If you said yes, then welcome to the club. It's time for I'm Old.
F I'm Old, brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery, keeping quality beer and food in the hands and bellies of Albertans. Check out wildrosebrewery.com for delivery and takeout, or visit the patio in the Curry Barracks.
Oh, Wild Rose. Last week, I went to, this is not the F I'm Old thing, but it's, went to buy some beverages. You know, it was so hot last week, right? So warm.
Oh, it's good.
You need to, okay.
What were you trying to do there? You gotta keep in the shade.
You gotta stay hydrated.
Yeah!
but the, it is my favorite box of beer. It's the Herd.
The Herd's, that's a banger, dude.
I enjoy the Herd.
Oh, yeah. You can get those little bevies going.
The Herd, it's an 8-can pack, 2 of the Velvet Fog, 2 of the Electric Avenue, 2 of the Gosa, and 2 of the Raspberry. And you mix, don't mix, whatever. But those are probably my 4 favorites. Get after it. Get on it.
What's the move? Have you tried the Foggy Pond yet?
I haven't, no.
Oh, dude, come on now. I've been talking about this for months. You've
Ryan.
Had the Herd. There's no excuse.
Don't be getting frustrated.
Hey, Dean, what happens when you eat too much cheese?
I get pretty constipated. What happened to the Carolina Hurricanes last night?
You know, they got eliminated.
When you buy your beer, you know what you need to do with it? You got to keep it refrigerated.
Refrigerated. This is a really stupid show we work on. Like, really, really stupid. We're going to, like, go to our graves and people are going to try to say nice things about our lives. They're going to be like, it was a really dumb show. It was really stupid.
So, my backyard, it's a work in progress. Luckily, I have Green Drops help and take care of it. But, you know, with dogs, you got dead spots. So you're digging those up and you're putting grass seed down and you're trying to keep it watered and all of that. But I have on the side of my house, it's all day sun. It just, I cannot keep the grass alive. So I'm trying to think, well, it's the one area that just doesn't look good right now. It's dead. It's against the house. So I'm trying to come up with, so do I buy, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? So I've decided, and this was me on the weekend, and I was about 2 or 3 ads deep when I realized that what I was doing was behavior that was befitting someone much older than me. I was very intrigued at buying some above ground planters. Do I get cedar? What kind of wood would I? Oh, well, this, how would six, how deep do we need them? How, what kind of soil will we put? What, will we put flowers? Well, they're going to have to be flowers that. What's happening to me? Standing in line at the garden center, waiting for it to open, and now I'm on internet websites on the old Kijiji looking to hire someone to build me some planter boxes. F I'm old.
Nadine, that yard that Greendrop's taking care of.
Yeah.
You know when they come hole punch the lawn at the beginning of the year?
What's that?
What do they call that? Yeah, yeah.
You gotta
keep it aerated.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah.
Say I give you a fresh loaf of bread out of the oven.
Yeah.
And you're going to make a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to grab a knife out of the drawer.
Yeah.
What kind of knife would you grab?
It's got to be serrated. I don't even know if I can do one, but sure. I golfed 36 holes on Saturday, and it's like I did 9 rounds with Mike Tyson and needed a hyperbaric chamber if I'm old. All I did was walk and swing a club.
Okay, how? One more time. You what?
I played 36 holes on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And waking up Sunday, it wasn't as if I played 2 rounds of golf. It was as if I had completed my first Ironman.
Well, I mean,
very different in terms of levels of stress on your body, do you think? Not to my old bleeping body.
Like, will it be now one of those things where if somebody says, let's play 36, you'll kind of pause to think if it's really worth it again?
I will do it once a year, but maybe twice. You know what I'm going to do, Dean? I'm going to keep it hydrated.
Oh, okay. You doubled up on that. Riley, that's it for today.
Sorry, that was a little cheesy.
F I'm Old, brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery, keeping quality beer and food in the hands and bellies of Albertans. Check out wildrosebrewery.com for delivery and takeout, or visit the patio in the Curry Barracks.
So now you can text in 96960 with your tales of old age. We'll make one of you a winner with Wild Rose. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Dean.
Sam Bennett, did he sign as a free agent in Florida, or what happened there?
No, he was at the deadline traded.
Don't mistake this with something that isn't funny, because this is hilarious. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is really good stuff.
Just outstanding, yeah.
Yeah. Now people are texting in. Yes, if I needed help with watering my lawn, I should just get it irrigated. Oh, good stuff. And probably I would think if you did this long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners would get upset and mad.
Yeah.
And you might even say they'd get
extremely frustrated.
Or perhaps even aggregated. Aggravated. Aggregated? Such an idiot.
At least we're getting compensated.
Oh, this is a thing now, right? Is that what this is going to be?
Hope not.
Somebody just texted in. They can't believe that this show is so highly rated. It is. I'm not sure either. We'll be right back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Maybe.
Boomer in the Morning is on your radio, tablet, smartphone, and always on your smart speaker. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
So you've been hearing it. Our famous calls contest with Paradise Bay. Every day, it's a different call. A historic play-by-play call. Maybe it's football, maybe it's hockey, whatever it is. You got to know what two teams are involved and what year the call took place in. You then text that in to 96960 and you could win. On the 21st, one lucky qualifier will be randomly selected, and then he, she will have to decide, am I going to take home that big 13-foot umbrella, the patio umbrella? There's going to be a brand new Get Natural Gas propane fire pit or a brand new gas grill. It's going to be yours. It's your decision. You're a tough one to make, I know. Full contest details found at sportsnet.ca. If it's hot tubs, if it's patio, if it's fun in the summertime, go check out the website, goparadisebay.com. Boomer here in the iconic downtown studios, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls, along with Riley, and sitting at home in his shorts is one Ryan Pinder.
Same shorts. Probably get a week out of them here.
Yeah, probably. Weather's going to be all right for it. Is it, because you said it was chilly in there the other day. Is it warmed up? Is it coming up to temp?
Feet are a little cold, but I'm good. You go hoodie on the top, shorts on the bottom, and then slide on the flip-flops, make some eggs, and go pick up the weasels from school. Yeah.
Couple of clips that I wanted to play for you. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but there seems to be a lot of attention being paid in Major League Baseball to pitchers who may or may not be using certain substances on the ball to make life difficult for the hitters. Have you heard about this?
Of course. I mean, yeah.
Right?
Boy, Garrett Cole's in the center of a firestorm. We talked about it. Donaldson was chirping him last week.
Yeah, well, this goes
and
back.
I believe it's Yankees Twins right now.
Now, Mike Schilt is the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, and this goes back a couple of weeks. Now, again, it's not new. It's happened for, you know, generations kind of thing, but still. This was Schilt a couple weeks ago.
There are people that are effectively and not even trying to hide, essentially flipping the bird at the league with how they're cheating in this game with concocted substances. There are players that have been monetized for it. There are players that are obviously doing it, going to their glove. There's clear video of it. You could tell the pitchers that are doing it because they don't want to go to their mouth. But let's go check the guys that are sitting there going to their glove every day with filthy stuff coming out. Not some guy before he's even stepped on the mound with a spot on his hat.
And now there's a lot of evidence coming forth. There's a lot of cheating, it seems, going on in baseball.
Maybe not new. Been happening for a long time.
Right.
And now the issue is that you've got data to essentially, like, put it right on a tee and know it's happening. Like, you're looking at spin rates of pitchers when they're using balls without sticky substances versus when you suspect they are. So to his point, when the pitcher comes out without the spot on his hat that he taps before every pitch, why is his spin rate why is it down 200 revolutions a second? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, there's been some still shots of clear markings inside the glove of some pitchers, all of this. But it's become a big hot topic.
Yeah, and it's been happening forever, and this is the problem with baseball. It's not that it's happening. It's that they've known it's happening and have done nothing about it. So now when you want to do something about it, guys' entire careers are based off this. Like, if Garrett Cole doesn't do this, and if you heard his question yesterday, he said he
did. Well, we're going to play it here right away.
So if he's not that, what do the Yankees give him in free agency?
He received.
So it's this whole like economy of like fake goods. These guys' numbers are all based upon doctoring it. At least the guys that do, right?
Signed as a free agent with the Yankees, 9-year contract worth $324 million. So that's $36 million a year for almost a decade. That's pretty decent change. And he has been a very effective pitcher. Now, he was asked, the question is that spider tack is what that's the substance that's the topic du jour is the spider tack. This is about as awkward as you could imagine. And I guess, obviously, Cole was not prepared for it, as you're about to find out, but he was asked about the substance.
I don't know. I don't know if, I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, you know, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I, again, like I mentioned earlier, there's,
and it's just, it goes on for, I'll spare you, it goes on for another like 30 seconds. He was asked, have you ever used spider tack? Tradition, that it's become kind of a,
there are customs and practices that have been passed down from,
well, it's heartwarming, isn't it? You know, generations after generations of starting pitchers have shown Garrett Cole and others the way with goop inside of their mitt and on the brim of their hat.
It's just a tradition being passed down, like a torch from falling and failing hands to, yeah, the next. Yeah, no. Again, the problem isn't that they're doing it. The problem is that they've known forever and did nothing about it. Same with steroids. Same with what was going on with the Astros with sign stealing. The problem isn't that it happens. It's that Major League Baseball turns a blind eye. And now what you do is you have an epidemic, and how do you deal with it? Because guys have spent their whole careers doing it.
I remember there was a highlight, and I'm trying to remember which of the Necros it was. If it was Phil Necro on the mound, and the umpire comes out because there's been a complaint from the other team. The other dugout says, listen, he's like, you got to check this guy. He's got something in his pocket and he's scuffing the ball. So the ump and the umpire, the crew come out to talk to him on the mound, and all of the, you know, the players come in. So they're gathered for a meeting, and he's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let's see, in your glove. No. Under your hat. No. What about your back pocket? And he puts his hand in his back pocket and pulls it out, and then puts his hands up like, oh, see, nothing. And like an emery board falls out of his pocket. He's taken, he had sandpaper on the mound in his pocket. Oh, I have no idea what you'd be talking about. Oh, unless, yeah, that's an angle grinder that I need for after the game. Whoops.
A big dinner tonight. I really got to trim these up. I thought maybe just between I'd take some time.
You like Joey Votto?
Love Joey Votto.
Joey Votto, Canadian boy, Cincinnati Red. And recently, since he swept St. Louis, swept the Cards. And Votto was asked, I mean, get ready for it. Votto was asked, how did it feel to sweep the Cardinals?
We had some talking motherfuckers in St. Louis after the first series sweep. And it's kind of nice to go on their road. You know, at their road ballpark and let them have it. We had some people sweeping brooms and like that while we were leaving. So how'd you like that?
Are you kidding me?
No, that didn't just happen. I did not know that was coming to you. And that just hit me like a train.
We had some talking motherfuckers in St. Louis.
Isn't that like what? If like that's a bit, right? Is that an SNL, somebody wearing Joey Votto's jersey? No, he's on the Zoom call.
Dude, I couldn't love this guy anymore, and then that happens? Are you kidding me?
There were some bleep-talking mother bleepers in St. Louis.
We had some talking mother in St. Louis.
Put that at the top of the folder with asterisks beside it.
Isn't that something?
We had some,
that is unbelievable.
Sweeping brooms. And then capped it off with,
How'd you like that?
Oh, man. Couldn't believe it when I heard that. And then there was a minor league pitcher. I think it was Virginia something. I honestly did not go and do the... His name is Stephen Schock, I believe is his name. And this one kind of went viral last night because he was asked about... He was on the road pitching and got the win. And the broadcast crew was talking to him afterwards about trying to nail down the victory.
Let's go back to that last inning, ninth inning. What are the emotions like entering that inning?
Well, emotions are go in, win. I heard a fan offer free Dippin' Dots if I blew it, which the price of Dippin' Dots with inflation is just unreal. So for a brief moment, I was like, damn, Dippin' Dots sound good. But also, I thought in the back of my head, we win today, we win tomorrow, or tonight. We're going to be here another day. That's more per diem. So that means I can buy my own Dippin' Dots and be a winner.
I like the cost-benefit analysis there. Like,
yeah, I thought about it.
Making a list of pros, making a list of cons. I like just listening to him go through the process there.
Another day. Kenny Powers, right, from Eastbound and Down? There's a little bit of Kenny Powers in there.
Love Kenny Powers.
Win. I heard a fan offer free Dippin' Dots if I blew it, which... The price of Dippin' Dots with inflation is just unreal.
Now, Dippin' Dots, it's a nice little ice cream treat, right? That the kids enjoy. It's like little. Is it ice cream or is it frozen yogurt? I've never had it, but I've seen them available. But dude's a big fan. And continuing down the road of Kenny Powers, he was asked, "What goes through your mind when you're on the mound looking to nail down a win?"
I think three words every time I'm out there. The first one's a swear word, starts with F. Second word's attack. Third one's win. And I just repeat that to myself, unless, you know, there's a breach in the system and I walk a guy and I got to tell myself I'm a few different things that isn't a winner.
Unless there's a breach in the system and I walk a guy. Otherwise, it's F, attack, win.
Swear word starts with F. Second word's attack. Third one's win.
Thank you, Kenny Powers. God. But nothing. Nothing's going to take the title away from Joey Votto today. Until further notice, Joey Votto has the belt.
He had some talking motherfuckers in St. Louis.
That is special. And he has always been unapologetically honest, right? Incredible. That is another level. And maybe it doesn't happen if you have reporters in the clubhouse or in a live setting. But I feel like if you're prepared to do the S-talking MFers on a Zoom, you're probably going to do it regardless.
I love Joey Votto. Like, this guy's awesome. Come on. That's just great.
Yeah.
Has there been a better clip in 2021?
That's tough.
Like, is there a better quote we've got from anyone this year? That is an instant, right into the bracket, maybe top five seed in one of the quadrants when we do the clip madness. When that happens sometime this summer, because we have nothing to talk about, that's a high seed.
Yeah, there's been some good ones. Terry Bradshaw calling Aaron Rodgers weak, calling him out. Daryl Sutter with the Gaudreau blast was pretty good. Kevin Durant telling fans to grow the F up was all right. Just going through my 2021 here. The Koepka DeChambeau stuff was pretty good. That's all pretty recent, too. It's all pretty good. Lucic. I'd still like the Charlie Montoyo better if drunk.
Awesome. For the first time, you felt the crowd, right?
You know? But no, it's in there. So we got it. We'll hang on to that. That's gold, Jerry. That's gold. We'll break here at 8:39. What you want to talk about from the fan feedback line, plus our winner with Wild Rose Brewery and F I'm Old. You still got a couple minutes here. You got that story of old age texted in here. We'll have a winner coming up in the next segment. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning continues. Brought to you by Sundry Golf Club. Voted the number one value course in Alberta by Score Golf 4 years in a row. Now open. Book your tee time at sundrygolf.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Calgary.
Now, you know, a couple weeks ago, I got all excited for the Super Blood Red Moon thing, whatever that was.
Yeah, it was pretty short-lived when it was overcast that day and you couldn't see it, but I do recall you being enthusiastic.
Yeah, and I think I was late anyway. Well, I'm out in front on this one. Apparently, June 10th, tomorrow. A solar eclipse.
Really?
Parts of the northern hemisphere, including Canada, we'll experience an annular solar eclipse. Most of the sun will be blocked out by the moon. How about that? You know what I mean?
Good time to rob a bank.
Because we all know this. I don't need to explain it. There's three types of solar eclipses: the total, the partial, and the annular. Right? We know this.
Yeah.
During the total eclipse, the entire sun, the entire disk of the sun, is covered by the moon. Partial eclipse is where the moon appears to kind of swing through some of it. An annular eclipse, however, is when the moon is a little farther away from us in its orbit and covers all but the outer edge of the sun, creating what some will call a, quote, ring of fire.
Okay.
Now, it says some places, where are we here? Solar eclipse, what time will it hit? Yellowknife, Iqaluit, So it'll be
further north than us there. Yeah,
Montreal 5:05 a.m., Toronto 5:35, Winnipeg 5:20, Regina 4:47, Calgary and Edmonton not visible. Well,
there you go. See? Yeah. Good bet though, right?
Is the Galaxy out to get me?
When's the call at? I'm texting with a buddy. We got to let him know what time to
2:18 a.m.
That's not
starts at 2:18 a.m. The maximum eclipse hits at 6:08 a.m. So you got
breakfast.
Like a 4-hour span there where you can just sit back and relax and enjoy you an annular eclipse. Unlike us people getting jobbed here in Alberta. What the fuck? That's right. Why is the solar system out to? Why did this solar system hate me? What did I ever do?
Maybe it just knows it needs you need a little more vitamin D there, Dino. Just keep the sun for Dino for a bit longer.
You know, it's not like I'm a.
We had some talking mother.
It's not like I'm that. I'm a good guy. I'm a nice guy. Here's
very
our
positive
winner.
Guy.
I'm very positive guy. Darcy's our winner. For if I'm old this week, this happens a fair bit of time. Part of it is because I'm old and the memory isn't as good as it used to be. And I'm guessing if Darcy were here and were asked, a lot of it just has to be perhaps tuning out your significant other. Right? It's like the Masters music when it's on. It's kind of yeah, babe, I got it. Wife asked me to get some meat out of the freezer for tomorrow. I was watching the hockey game. I said, yeah, I'll do it at the commercial. Commercial comes, I get up, go out to the garage where the freezer is. I open the door and can't remember what I was doing at the freezer, so I just grabbed an ice cream treat, went back inside and sat down. Wife says, what did you get out of the freezer? I said, ice cream. F, I'm old. I do that. That happens way more. Did you feed the dog? No, I'll do it. Well, can you do it? Yeah, I'll do it. I forget 75% of the time. When it comes down to that. And I think a lot of it maybe has to do with the tuning out part. But I've also got a lot on my mind. You know, I'm thinking about these bloody eclipses and what I got to do. Here, I was already after the show. I was going to go buy the solar eclipse glasses, right? Don't want to be like Trump staring up at the sun, hurting your eyeballs. No, I don't even need to.
Sir, whatever you do, do not take off your glasses.
Now, if I get a flight into Northern Ontario, maybe I can travel with it. Start in the east and just kind of start moving to the west.
Man, Carl, it's getting sunlight today. Sunrise at 2:20 a.m. How about that?
And if you're listening, here's the thing. If you're in Regina, because I'm now looking kind of a map. If you're in Regina, you're going to see it, but it's basically just the tippy tip, like just a smidge. Winnipeg, under half. But if once you're into your kind of your Thunder Bay, your Kapuskasing, casing, your Sudbury, Toronto, you're gonna have a show, people. And definitely, Ryan, if you that friend of yours in Iqaluit, 6:06 a.m.
Yeah,
pop some corn, my friend.
Yeah,
enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. God, what's a guy got to do to see an eclipse?
Move to Iqaluit, apparently.
All right.
Very expensive. $20 for 2 liters of Coke. Careful.
What?
Oh, yeah. It'll fly everything in, Dean. Come on. It's not on the old Amazon distribution center plan there.
So why? Yeah. So, I mean, I would feel like that
you
should be a place where,
that's where you're from. Yes.
Cost of living would be cheap, you would think. But not so much.
Sir.
Is that what you're telling me?
All the goods that you'd like don't come from there.
Yeah. Fish?
If you want to hunt seals.
Do we eat fish?
You
I love
fishing,
fish.
You can do that.
Do you know Riley's going to go fishing today?
That fits the bill, yeah.
I was considering it, for sure.
5:30, Riley said, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to go out, throw a hook in the water. Now, what was the percentage chance of that happening this morning in the 5:30, and how are you feeling now? Because I feel like fatigue has to have set in.
Yeah, I'm going to have a nap, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I might go. We'll see.
That doesn't sound like
this kid.
At all.
He gets out there, he does things, he's mixing it up. Yeah. He's new to town, he's researching, he's doing things.
Yeah.
Tried
he's
the boat
his
river.
House, Dean.
last week, and it was rushing.
Brown and quick moving. Yes.
Cast my hook out, and it was on the shore before I could start reeling. So didn't.
That is that's a thing right now. You get all that runoff plus the rain. Look out.
Yeah. So probably just gonna go to the Glenmore Reservoir and catch a bunch of weeds and not get any bites, but at least I'm out there. I tell my girlfriend this, that I could go for like 8 hours and not catch anything and have a good day, and she just doesn't understand. Drink beers, sit in the sun.
You know what that is? That's you getting old. When you go fishing and don't care if you catch anything, that's early onset of old age.
That's fair.
Early onset. Well, show tomorrow is, so it's the Thursday show. What are we going to do tomorrow? We'll talk about, what are we going to be talking about? Here's the, we'll throw it out there. Riley, tomorrow on the show.
Steve?
Are we going to be talking about the Islanders moving on or about Boston coming up, like you said, staving elimination?
I think it's a stave.
Seven games.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
We need it.
I'd love to see a stave. I just think that madhouse is going to be, it's going to will them an extra goal tonight.
The old Nassau County Coliseum. And that's the other thing,
Memorial Veterans
too, right?
Parking Lot Coliseum, yeah.
They win again, two more games. That building has been on life support and been dead often.
They've been at the funeral twice.
Yeah.
This thing, it's the greatest cockroach of all time.
A cockroach. I am going to say
la
stave.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Na, 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 na.
That. And that's all. So we're going to talk some footy tomorrow and maybe something else.
We should do some
A lot of maybes. We got balls in the air, people.
People. Fellas.
Balls in the air.
I feel like we should do an autopsy of some of the teams that have passed. What do the offseason look like?
Yeah. Could do that.
Also might be too soon for that. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Very sportsy.
So, and now the nine is coming up after this, and you've got a full nine today.
Luke Alvey going to join us from Congaree, which is the incredible golf course that's hosting this week. It should have been the Canadian Open, but for the second year in a row, see ya. So they're at this track, I believe, in South Carolina. It is something. You'll look at some pictures of this thing. It's like, what? What? Excuse me?
What?
Right in the middle of a forest and surrounded just by bunkers. All the holes are like set in bunkers. It's like a desert course in the forest. What? So we'll talk with Luke Alvey from there.
All right.
Then, Ben Wagner on the Blue Jays. Why not? Sure. Yeah, go.
Pin I report. Can't believe
87 minutes long.
I can't believe I missed this. Like, it's not been my best day. You know, we all have good days and bad days. And I certainly no MVP award today. Sorry, guys.
What did you miss?
But I missed because we were talking about Iqaluit.
Right.
And I would have thought it'd be cheap living, but you said not. It's not the case because you got to bring everything in.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the fact that Iqaluit is so isolated. Riley, we can do what you want to talk about now. If you want to.
So what you want. Talking about.
What you want to talk about with Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Jeep season is here with discounts up to $15,000 and 0% financing. Visit varsitychrysler.com.
969.60, we have a couple minutes here, and it is just a steady flow of people looking for the offspring bit.
Yeah, well, you got to give yourself 3 minutes.
Hey, Boom, Bruce Cassidy did not like the way the game was officiated. Riley, be careful. Not every body of water is open right now. You don't need a fish or wildlife officer getting you incarcerated.
Thing if they do that, your tackle, your gear, your rod might be confiscated.
My goodness. Riley, pickerel rig, bell sinker, choice of bait, frozen minnows for pike and walleye. If reservoir allows bait, otherwise a jig with a wiggly tail and bounce it off the bottom. So there you go. You like that? I don't think he's even listening.
I do.
Okay.
I,
bounce, little bounce.
I might have to go pick up a new pickerel rig because I think mine is still in most. I think I have a few in Regina still. Mm. I've had to rebuild a tackle box out here.
Remember Walker did that in Vancouver? He bought all the new fishing gear, rod, reel, and stuff, and I think he dumped it all into the water. He had had the lawn chair, got everything set, had his drink, he sat down, and then went to stand up, and I think to pick up pliers or something, and the whole thing just went into the drink.
How's he doing? You checked in?
Yeah, I hear from him. He's really upbeat and positive, as usual.
Yeah. Yeah. How long till he's talking Riders with
any day
with Bo Levi Mitchell, eighth best quarterback in the league? I feel like that's got to be happening soon.
Feel like Pinder needs to grab that cat keyboard and belt out his Southpaw tight pants.
If I had any sort of clue what I was doing on the cat piano, I would bang that thing out no sweat. I'm also scanning the room for it.
It would only be four notes. In just dun 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 dun. So you know that's.
Southpaw tight pants. Southpaw tight pants. Southpaw tight pants.
You got the whistle at the end? There you go. There you go.
Kazoo would have worked too, actually. But
that's right. And you have both of those. Boom Boom, will you be watching Euro Cup soccer? And who is your team? It'll depend when the games are on, right? And also, I said this earlier this week, I'm born in Canada. I'm a proud Canadian. So it's Canada all the way, baby.
Now, you do have roots, and you talk about around Christmas time, special food.
Pierogies?
You have cultural food. Yeah. Like, are we talking Polish? Are we talking Ukrainian? What are we?
Mom's side would be Ukrainian. I don't know what the other side is.
Ukraine's in. Yeah. They're in.
The Ukraines are in?
Yes.
Well, honest to God, then maybe, if not Canada, then maybe Ukraine.
Honest to God.
Я не знаю. Honest to God. Dean, boy, oh my God. I think we're done.
I don't think Poland's in for you.
No? Well, there's thought that it might be Swedish with the Berg at the end.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably more than one. That's how things work. Ukraine is in Group C with my boys, the Dutch, Holland, the Netherlands, Austria, Northern Macedonia. It's four teams with seven country names in one group.
Nice.
It's a lot.
Macedonia.
Northern Macedonia. Watch your mouth.
Okay. It's very complicated. See you tomorrow, buddies.
Poland's in too. And Sweden. You got three teams, Dino. Three!